Welcome to part three of our conversation with Andrew Barger, Jason Lasasso, Ryan Nelson, and Brian Heller. We're about 2 weeks past our last conversation, but that's where I'd like to start. Jason, I got a question for you.
What's up?
Who is Big Dog Andrew Sweeten?
He's the tour manager for PGA. Yeah, he's the guy you go to if you need a waiver.
Okay. Like what kind of waiver? Like for, I know Mr. Disc Golf said something about he needed a waiver to do a shotgun start, and he had to, you know, so everybody could start at the time, but he had to go jump through some hoops, that kind of thing.
So his waiver was the same one I had to get, which was to have the second round cards be the same as the first round.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. So I ended up doing that for the AMs, and the pro field was so limited that we were able to shift the cards. But
nice.
When you say like you had to get a waiver, like can you maybe like describe what that means?
If you want to deviate from anything that's in the competition book or the rules, you have to get a permission from the tour manager. And so that rule in the competition manual is, I don't know if it's definitely required. It's definitely suggested. So just to be safe, I followed the same thing that Mike did and got a waiver.
Gotcha. So even for like small changes, you got to like approve it through someone?
If you're going to deviate from anything that's in the competition manual, you should get a waiver. I don't think anybody would complain, but if you want to follow the sanctioning from the PDGA, you have to follow everything in their competition manual.
So I have a question, Pat.
Yo.
How many waivers do you think the Beacon Blaze would have to fill out if it were sanctioned?
That depends.
How high can you count? Yeah, right?
Brian, did you play in the Slamdemic
down in Westchester?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Well, I played for a very short amount of time.
So did I. But I felt I needed to, it's one of the things I noticed. I was like, wait a second. I'm pretty sure I saw that you might have done that. So, and who'd you play? Do you remember any of that?
I played, this kid, Jack Henry, I think was his name. The first round, he just graduated high school. Good guy. You know, he played better than I did, obviously. He got his first tournament ace during our match, which was pretty good for him. And then I went right to the loser bracket, which was a good thing because it got me out to Kisco for the first time.
Nice.
So that was a good one. And that one, I think it was the guy that Andrew played. I think I played him and he beat me. And then I think he played Andrew.
Jared Apple?
No. Oh,
I think I saw you play Sean.
Sean, yeah.
Is that the guy you just played with today, Andrew?
Yeah. He was out there too.
Look at that. It's a small world.
Brian, how far into your match were you when he aced in your face?
It was hole 11, which is fine. So he had me by, he got me like two kind of quickly, but then we just kind of like matched the whole time. Oh. I got one back on 10. So I was like, okay, you know, there's hopes for it. And then 11, he aces. I'm like, well, I just took all this wind out of my sail. I was like, jeez. Crap.
Man, that's a pump statement to get it up there too.
Oh yeah.
At least for me.
Which hole was this again?
Hole 11. I don't play that often. So it's
FDR, right?
Yeah. FDR.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It's that one you kind of like, there's like a route. There's like a skinny route through some trees. That's like straight ahead.
Right.
But I thought the play was to like Anheuser it around the tree.
I thought he did.
Man, that's far.
It was, and it was just like solid the whole way. I mean, it was a pretty cool thing to see. I'm not going to lie.
That's the one that's kind of uphill. You're throwing from like the base before the little hill. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a nice ace.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brian.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where like I signed up to do it and then was like how many times do I want to make the trip over Bear Mountain Bridge to do this thing? So like the fact that I went out in my first two matches, like I'm okay with it. Like, I got my money's worth. I played a new course, played with two new guys, so it was worth it.
Heck yeah. All right, Ryan. Okay, I had a couple questions. I haven't been paying attention to hockey, but what's the deal with this bubble? I'm a Sabres fan from way back in January, and so I think they're out, so I haven't really been following. So what's going on?
Yeah, they've got two bubbles, one in Edmonton and one in Toronto.
So all the teams are playing in Canada?
Correct.
So because the Blue Jays weren't allowed to play In Canada, because the rest of the teams were playing in the U.S., but that's a good way to get around it. Okay,
I think Canada likes heard, Canada likes hockey more than baseball. That's just the sense I get. I could be wrong.
Hey, probably.
just a theory.
just a theory I've been developing. but yeah, so they had a play-in round for teams mm-hmm. that were on the bubble in the
that's
bubble.
That's what I was going to ask. How did that work out?
It didn't work out. Well, it didn't work out well for the Rangers, my team. But
they're out.
Yeah, so they lost all three of their play-in games. So they had they had basically a best of five series for the teams that were on the bubble. Because you know some teams were virtually mathematically eliminated. Some were like Detroit,
The Sabres.
right, had no chance. So I guess they gave some chances. Some teams a shot. To play in to the round, to the first round. And the Rangers lost, but believe it or not, they had a the strange thing is that they determined the draft order before the play in series started. And for whatever reason, the way that it was drawn, the first round pick, because the way that the NHL does their draft order is it's not you're guaranteed first if you come in last in the regular season, because they don't want to they want to try to prevent tanking. Mm-hmm. And so they do a lottery system where you have a really good chance of getting a first round, the first pick if you have a bad regular season, but you're not guaranteed it. And so what happened was the first round pick ended up going to one of the teams that would be eliminated from the play-in series. So the Rangers got, and I guess six or eight other teams got eliminated from the play-in series. And so they all had an equal chance of getting the first round pick, 12.5%. Mm-hmm. And the frickin' Rangers got it.
Oh, okay.
So yes, my team lost, went 0-3 in the play-in series, but they have the right to draft Alexis Lafreniere, who's like the next Crosby, next.
Sounds like French there, but
yeah, I'm sure he's from probably Montreal or something. But so that was exciting. But now they're in like the second round of the playoffs, and things are going well. I mean, they've done testing, and they haven't had a single confirmed case in the bubble. They've got hotels that they're confined to, but at least the ones in Toronto, I'm sure, are having a good time. I don't know about those folks in Edmonton.
All right. So since we're probably never going to talk about hockey again, I had a couple other questions for you. What is your opinion of the Olympic point system? Do you think that the NHL should incorporate it?
I don't even know the difference, honestly. I don't really follow Olympic hockey. Mm-hmm.
Basically, you get 3 points, if you win in overtime, you get 2, the other team gets 1. So that way, each win is worth 3 points. Mm-hmm. And I believe I like it. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean the I like it. I don't, the way the NHL does it, you've got the situation where the tiebreakers are regulation in overtime wins. Mm-hmm. So like ties in overtime count a lot, and mm-hmm. so that can really skew the points in the regular season. So I'd be okay with that, with the Olympic point system, personally. Yeah. But I don't have a real theory about that, Pat. I haven't thought about it.
Oh, I got you. That, you admitted it. You said you didn't even know. And did you hear about the new team, the Kraken?
Oh, I sure did. Yeah.
That's an awesome name.
I don't know if you've seen the release of their name and
the hype
logo.
Video or whatever.
Yeah, the hype video. But actually, I was really impressed by their the logo, mm-hmm. The actual the S, which apparently the S is a throwback to one of the original the original Seattle NHL team. So nice. It's a throwback there. But then they have this animated logo that shows a tentacle of the Kraken slithering up the S, and then the red eye appears, and it's so badass. I'm like a closet Kraken fan.
All right, and Andrew, I got a trivia question for you.
Yes,
ready?
Sir. Yep.
What were the what were the character names of Mr. T and Hulk Hogan in Rocky III?
All right. Mr. T was Clubber Lang.
All right.
And Hulk Hogan was something lips. It was like Hot Lips or like Sugar Lips. God, am I close?
Not Lightning, but
Thunder Lips. Oh.
There you go. We would have also taken the ultimate male or the ultimate object of desire. Who would win in a fight between the two, Andrew?
Oh, Clever Lang. Like, that dude worked out in a dungeon. he was a scary dude. Yeah. And he beat Rocky, like, crushed Rocky. So, of course, he could beat Thunderlips.
But he never beat him the second time.
Didn't beat him the second time.
When he basically rope-a-doped him.
Yeah, rope-a-dope, man. Rocky's play throughout five movies.
Yeah, essentially. Beat up a lot. All right. So, before we get to trivia, I did want to talk about Mind Kill. We talked a little before, but Jason, first question, have you begun preparations for next year?
Oh, yeah. I already started.
Let's go, Jason.
Yeah, I'm actually more pumped for next year because this was a good learning experience. And not only that, but I feel like there's just a lot of stuff that I want to do better next year because I couldn't do it this year.
Well, what about the weather? Would you ever do another August tournament at Mindkill?
Personally, I didn't like the heat, but I was surprised that, you know, I send out a survey every year after the event, and quite a few people actually liked the conditions in August as opposed to June. So really? I'll consider it, but personally, I'm not one for the heat, so it was kind of hot when we played.
Mm. Well, you mentioned the idea of doing a one-day tournament in the future. Did the experience here help or make you think about not doing it?
No, I'd actually... There's a lot of stuff I liked about this year. One of the big ones was the digital scoring and not playing. Like, actually watching the AMs live was a lot of fun. Just I had my laptop set up and I just kept going between the divisions, and there was like a few battles going on the whole time. It was AM Masters between Jeff Wychowski and Matt Cully. It was like Jeff was consistent the whole time, but Matt Cully would go birdie, 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 triple bogey, and then, you know, it's just back and forth the whole time. So that was fun to watch. And also just like not having to run a tournament and play at the same time was kind of a relief. So I liked having the AMs and the pros split up, and not having to do all that stuff Saturday night was a big relief too. I just kind of was done with the AMs. I had given out all the trophies, didn't have to like sort cards, figure everything out. Everything was already planned ahead. So I definitely would consider doing a one-day tournament. I think maybe in the fall would be the best.
Well, what would you say? I know there was less people this weekend, but what would you say was easier logistically, one two-day tournament or two one-day tournaments?
Definitely two one-day tournaments.
They was easier?
Yeah, by far. Because I could prepare for everything ahead of time. And there wasn't any change, you know, like usually Saturday night, there's a lot of stuff to go over. And that's when we do the throw-off, so I'm not getting home until later, and then trying to figure out the cards, and you have to have the pro payouts ready and all that stuff. I didn't have to worry about that because it was all done ahead of time.
Nice. Well, I got one other question. Where do you get those badass trophies from? That, like, the baskets?
Oh, the baskets were from Dynamic Discs. So really? They're micro recruits and mini recruits. So they make baskets from full size and then in increments of 50%. So they're like, next, I think the junior is half the height of a normal basket, and then a mini is half the height of a junior, and then a micro is half the height of a mini. So yeah, and they're really well built. They're heavy. They're really nice baskets.
Well, I was gonna say, so you didn't even do, it's not even like a trophy, it's an actual working basket.
Yeah, they're you know, the minis, you can throw minis at, like, and play, you know, mini disc golf. And the micros, I think they're a little too small for minis. Like, you can get a mini in there, but and they're a little bit too big for bottle caps. So they're like in between. I'm not sure, maybe pogs or something like that. But
what a throwback!
Yeah. they're like I said, they're heavy. They're well built, and that was one of the questions I had this year. Was, you know, whether people prefer the trophies over the custom discs, and the majority were definitely in favor of the trophies, the baskets.
Yeah, I don't know if every tournament being trophy would be something. I think there's just so many that do discs or plastic or certificates. So the ones that don't, it's kind of, you know, it's, I like it.
Personally. Yeah,
I was thinking, you know, those can toppers that you can get that, like, you know, keep the beer in your can.
Oh,
they, one of those might fit in one of those micros.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now. That would be perfect. It wouldn't fall through the basket. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got some of those as a tournament giveaway. Chris Colomb was able to get them for us at a good deal. And I love those things, except when the minute you open the can. know, they're great until you have to open the can and then you crush it trying to put it on there.
Right. You have you actually have to beat them in.
Like I was going to say probably like needs to a get disc. Loose. Yeah. It's too stable. Okay. So round of trivia.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Through two rounds so far, it is tied 16-16 between Beacon and not Beacon. Our final round of trivia will be also a disc golf disc, but I have two choices. Because he is our mystery guest, Brian gets to pick. Would you like also... Oh, man. You probably heard a couple of these questions. Okay. Also a disc golf disc. You want music or TV?
Music or TV?
Yeah.
TV.
TV. Now, as you guys know, there's 2 points for these. Now, you have to get the answer to the question before you can guess the, because that's a bonus point. Guessing who makes it is a bonus point. So,
right.
Ooh, Pete Alonso just hit a home run. okay, go. So we're actually going to start this round with not Beacon because they haven't got the start one yet. And they picked. Okay. Question one, round three, also a disc golf disc TV. Dr. David Banner overdosed on what type of radiation in the 1978 series, The Incredible Hulk?
Gamma radiation.
Okay. And who makes the gamma ray? What company makes the gamma ray?
This is the part I'm going to suck at. just going to let you guys know that right now. Jason, you got anything on this one for gamma ray?
Gamma ray.
I mean, I would guess MVP, but...
that's my go-to guess usually.
But, I know, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go with MVP, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Beacon, what do you got?
It's not MVP?
No, it is not.
When I don't know, I assume it's like one of those weird companies. Not weird, but like like I don't know, like a Millennium or like some other strange ones like Yakun. I don't know. Millennium.
Oh, we were looking for ABC disc.
Oh, it's another strange one. Yeah.
All right, Beacon. Question two: what name is shared by Mr. Spock's emotionless race in the Star Trek universe and the disc chicken wing used to ace hole six at Beacon? Original hole six.
Is he a Vulcan?
Yeah.
Was that the question? Like, what race?
Yes.
Okay.
What name is shared by Mr. Spock's emotionless race in the Star Trek universe and the disc chicken wing used to ace hole six at Beacon?
Yeah, that's the Innova Vulcan.
It's hole four now. Innova. Ooh, so you got both. 2 points. Not Beacon. Question three. The animated series Family Guy follows the exploits of what family?
The Griffins.
And who makes the Griffins? You laughing at me, Ron?
No. I love these also disc questions. I think it's my favorite trivia category you have.
Is that it?
I wasn't so good at the car one.
Mm. Any thoughts? I'm thinking Millennium, but I don't know.
I have no. Like I said, this is going to be my like. I'll might do okay with shows, but I'm not going to do good with the disc.
Let's go with Millennium.
Beacon.
Usually the animals and fantastical characters are Innova.
Final answer?
What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, I would go with that.
You walk Innova.
I miss Innova.
They got like wraiths and all that random crap, you know, all those mythological creatures.
This is your regular question. The title of what acclaimed FX series fittingly referred to a policeman's badge?
The Shield.
Who makes the Shield?
Pretty sure it's like West Side or it's a trilogy disc. The Shield. Oh wait, no. I mean, doesn't Dynamic, all their stuff is like police oppression.
I would say Dynamic over
police oppression related.
Final answer?
Hold on. I know somebody that throws a shield and I guess Dynamic's probably the best bet. They're all about oppressive disc names.
All right. Not Beacon. What do you got?
Damn it.
You would think Dynamic, but West Side.
It is West Side.
No!
Talked himself out of it.
It's okay.
All right. Question five, not Beacon. Tom Hanks was the executive producer of the 1998 HBO miniseries From the Earth to the Moon about what space program?
Apollo?
Brian, you agree?
You cut out on that for me. I don't know why, but...
Tom Hanks was the executive producer of the 1998 HBO miniseries From the Earth to the Moon about what space program?
Yeah, I'm good.
Apollo?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
All right, and who makes that?
Is crickets an option? Apollo? Wow, is that Discraft?
I don't know. I was thinking West Side, but Discraft sounds good too.
It's going to be one of the, I don't know, like, is it the God one?
Or the Rocky one? Who knows? Final answer? Was it Discraft?
Yeah, we'll go Discraft.
All right. Beacon, do you have a guess?
Not Discraft.
I've never heard of the Apollo. Doesn't really line up with any of the naming schemes.
Right. Maybe it's another ABC.
Let's go ABC. I'm okay with that.
Andrew?
Yeah. ABC.
We were looking for Whammo.
Whammo!
Good Lord. They make this.
Whammo.
All right, we were close.
Well, you guys do get question six.
All right.
What TV series was set 500 years in the future aboard the transport ship Serenity?
Oh, it's Firefly. And that's made by Innova.
I had you got to fill 18, man. All right, it's like, what was it, 3 episodes ago? I think I did the opposite question because I needed a Serenity answer.
Sorry, I'm a huge fan. I would have gotten both.
Question 7. We're back to not Beacon. In what TV series first episode does Michael Flaherty grapple with the garbage strike and political gaffe by the mayor? In what series first episode does Michael Flaherty, I'll never say that, grapple with a garbage strike and a political gaffe by the mayor?
I'm trying to think of discs now.
So was it HBO you said?
No, just what series? Uh-oh. Actually, that was the Tom Hanks was HBO. See, that's from, that's like the Spanish from the last one.
Say it one more time.
In what TV series first episode does Michael Flaherty grapple with a garbage strike and a political gaffe by the mayor?
Yeah, it's like this is a show I know.
Got about 5 seconds.
Any ideas?
Michael Flaherty. No, I have nothing on this one.
Beacon.
No, I don't know this one.
Boston shows. Can you just say it one more time?
Sure. In what TV series first episode does Michael Flaherty grapple with a garbage strike and a political gaffe by the mayor?
Michael who? I just want to hear you say it again.
Final. I don't know. Is it Spin City, the Boston? I have no idea.
Final answer?
Yes. Spin City.
You are correct.
What?
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 Yes. What company makes the spin?
Oh, the spin. That's MVP. MVP makes the spin.
Crazy. All right.
I can't believe you gave me that.
Well, you said
that was kind of like misleading because like I was thinking Spin City didn't make sense. But I didn't even think about a disc called The Spin until you said it.
Okay, so this is your, because that was a steal.
Yeah.
Your regular question nice. 8, Beacon. The complete collection of what Jennifer Garner TV show comes in a Rambaldi artifact box?
Jennifer Garner had a TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No idea. For some reason, I automatically go to like witch themed shows.
Right,
like,
right.
I have no idea why. Like, not obviously not Buffy, but like something like that. I have no idea, Andrew.
Yeah, me neither.
All right. Not Beacon?
She was on Alias.
I'm sorry?
She was on Alias.
All right. And who makes the Alias?
I want to go with MVP. I want to say it's an Overmold.
Mm-hmm.
Does MVP count for all the sister ones too?
I think
can we get like Axiom Streamline in there too?
If it's Streamline or Axiom, I'd give it to you.
Then you got your answer.
No, I'm saying you deserve it. They're all the same company to me.
Say, if the other team will give it to you, I will. I'd be crazy not to give it to you. You know?
I'd say, which one was it?
Axiom.
Axiom. Like I knew it was one. Like I could see the disc, but I just didn't know which one it was.
Gotcha. All right. So now we're back to not Beacon. Question 9. What Netflix character was played by The Walking Dead's John Bernthal?
Wait, is this Beacon or not Beacon?
This is not Beacon. I'm sorry. What Netflix character was played by the Walking Dead's John Bernthal?
Wait, no, because they just guessed first on that one, I thought.
I got question 9, and they started.
No, William got the steal from you guys, I thought, on that one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Just trying to break your train of thought.
You guys didn't know the Jennifer Garner thing. so not Beacon.
Sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
Certainly. What Netflix character was played by The Walking Dead's John Bernthal?
Oh, it was the comic book guy. The hell is it? There have been a bunch of his movies. He's been a bunch of movies and shows and stuff about him. With this, Punisher.
Nice.
And who makes the Punisher?
You're gonna ask the follow-up question now, right? Punisher.
I think it like the dies.
Which one?
No, I'm just saying they're like custom dies with the Punisher. I can't think of an actual manufacturer.
I want to say Discraft, I think, has the Punisher one. I think Discraft has the Punisher one.
We'll go with Discraft.
All right.
Damn it.
You are correct. Oh.
Like, and again, like, I can see the disc. I can see it all.
All right. Question 10, Beacon. Running for 5 years, what TV series starred William Shatner as a hard-nosed veteran police officer?
Man, all those cop shows are like exactly the same to me. I do not know this one.
It's got to be one word.
It's not, you know. Sometimes it's just a word in there. Remember Spin City?
That's true. Spin City. That threw me off. Blue Blood.
Blue Shoes.
Finally, is that your guess?
Yes, The Shoe by ABC Discs. We got nothing over here.
Okay. So you didn't get a chance to steal, right? Not Beacon. You guys get the.
They get a chance right now.
Yeah.
Any cop shows?
You want me to repeat it?
I hate to do it, but can you say it again? Because again, it cut out on my side.
Okay. Am I cutting down on everybody?
No, I hear you.
No, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why.
That's okay. Running for 5 years, what TV series starred William Shatner as a hard-nosed veteran police officer?
Is that T.J. Hooker? Is that his show?
You go with that, Jason?
Yeah.
Who makes the hooker?
Good question.
Wow.
Is it a real disc?
Yes, the hooker.
Oh, crap. Hold on a second. What the hell's the one that has the... Lightning disc is what I'm going to go with, because they have like the upshot and the roller and all those ones.
The driver lightning disc?
Lightning discs, I think, or something like that they're called.
You guys both agree?
Yeah.
All right, Beacon, what do you think?
I haven't had the room behind it.
I don't know. Yeah. Millennium, TGA, ABC, 1, 2, 3.
Andrew, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think like Millennium. It's good enough for me.
We're looking for Disc Golf Association.
DGA.
Wow. All right.
Question 11. Not Beacon. On what TV series would you find Star City Police Detective Quentin Lance?
What?
On what TV series would you find Star City Police Detective Quentin Lance?
Star City. I've got nothing on that one.
Jason, anything?
Say it one more time.
On what TV series would you find Star City Police Detective Quentin Lance?
I can think of police detective would be like CSI or something like that. But I don't know what Star City means.
Beacon?
I don't know this one.
Neither of you guys? We're looking for Arrow.
Oh.
And it's Arrowby. Mm.
We don't watch Channel or 11, whatever that's called, right?
What's that?
Can we get an update on the score? Like
Andrew, I'm a professional.
I kept the gun. I got excited. I'm sorry.
This isn't his first rodeo. He knows what he's doing.
Through 11 questions, Not Beacon leads 9-8, But question 12 goes to Beacon. Also a disc golf disc. The theme is television. Question 12. What name was TNN, the Nashville network, changed to in order to suit its new programming direction? What name was TNN, the Nashville network, changed to in order to suit its new programming direction?
Brian, are you on the top of my head, I'm thinking TNT.
But
is that a disc?
It sounds like it could be. For some reason, I was thinking of like, what are the new channels that came out recently that might have been renamed? Like Freeform is a new one, but I think that used to be like ABC Family or something.
Mm-hmm.
was that right? But
no. I'm saying
it wasn't right. All right, cool. We got a hint.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's. You can rule one out. I like TNT. I think that I can't think of any other stations that are new.
All right, final answer.
Sure.
All yes. Right. Not Beacon. What do you think?
No. Oh, sorry, Ryan.
It's not your fault. I know.
So the Nashville Network.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's where Spike TV came from.
And who makes the Spike?
Latitude, because it's Trilogy. I know that one.
Jason, do you agree?
Sure. Yeah.
You are correct.
Nice.
Wow. All right. And you guys get question 13. Whew. Question 13. What is Daisy Johnson's code name on the ABC TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, I don't watch that one.
No idea.
Take a guess. So we just need, what's her name? Daisy what?
Daisy Johnson. What's her code name on the ABC show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I've got no clue. So if you got any disc name that sounds agent-y, I'm fine with it.
Nothing? All right.
No.
Beacon. No.
Yeah, whatever. I was going to say, like, Condor?
Yes.
That's a good, yeah. Beacon.
What do you think, Beacon? What's Daisy Johnson's code name on the ABC show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, I've never seen the show, but something is calling to me, like something about Dukes, something Daisy Dukes, maybe something Hazard.
Ooh, oh, Hazard.
Oh boy. Aren't the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Aren't they Marvel? They're Marvel characters. Correct. Yeah. For some reason, I feel like it's the one that, was in love with the, that man. I have no idea.
No, you guys give up.
Well, I took a shot in the dark last time, Ryan. So this is your turn.
This one. I don't know. All I can think of is like Storm, you know, like a Marvel character.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That sounds like a diss name.
We were looking for Quake.
Oh.
And that is a DGA disc. All right. There's only so many discs. This one goes back to Beacon, I believe. Yeah, because you guys had 12. Question 14. Which cartoon character introduced in 1949 is actually a geococcyx californianus? Which cartoon character introduced in 1949 is actually a geococcyx californianus?
Whoa, that's a big word. Geococcyx.
He's sitting there.
In an X, geococcyx.
So a coccyx is like your tailbone, right? So like a rock tailbone, something that looks like that, maybe.
You think it's a body part?
Well, we're looking for a cartoon character.
Cartoon character. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Right.
From 1949.
So that was maybe like a Disney character or something, like 1950s Disney.
I'd buy that.
Maybe it's a type of dog. Maybe it's Goofy or Pluto.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Which one?
I'm going to say Pluto. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pluto.
All right. Not Beacon. What do you think?
The entertainment value you're getting out of this thing.
All right. You don't want to know what goes on in my head. This isn't fair.
What was the little Latin name or whatever it is you had there?
Which cartoon character introduced in 1949 is actually a geococcyx californianus? It's California and U.S., basically. Geococcyx californianus.
Any clue, Jason?
No, I'm not even sure what that question means.
Just think of an old cartoon character that's also a disc. I mean, you got Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. You got those guys.
Oh.
Ooh.
Roadrunner.
Cody.
What else is that? Like Bugs Bunny, but that, you know, Donald Duck, like Geo, Earth, like maybe Roadrunner. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he's that old.
Is that your final answer?
You okay with it, Jason?
I've got nothing better.
Roadrunner. All right. Sounds. We'll go with Roadrunner.
All right. You'll never get this, but who makes the Roadrunner?
What?
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Correct.
Woo.
Nice. So
All right. Again, it is legit what cartoon character is the same as a disc. I just kind of was like, those are the first two that came to mind.
I can't believe Roadrunner is that old, to be honest. Mm.
Right. I thought it was going to be way. That's why I picked Pluto, because he's like one of the OGs.
Which is the Pluto platter, you know? And that's whammo.
Yeah.
All right. Question 15. This is for Not Beacon. Swim parallel to the shore to reach safety if you encounter one of what swift moving currents that shares a name with an 80s TV show?
That's Us Again?
Yes.
That's the Riptide.
Is it Riptide? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And who makes that?
Any idea?
I'm going to say DGA, because I think they have.
That's what I was thinking.
They have like,
because they have like Quake and Lyft.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go with them.
Beacon?
Who makes the Riptide? I mean, like Millennium, maybe? But I'm just trying to think. It's not like an InnovaDisc or Dynamics, not Trilogy, anything. My guess would be, not Discraft. Well, yeah, probably not. Probably not Millennium either, though. That would be my guess, though. Millennium.
Discraft would have sounded better.
Oh! That's my go-to, too.
What am I doing? I've never even heard of a Discraft Riptide. What is it?
Disc. Got him. Here, I'll tell you in a second. I'm Googling shit. The Riptide is an out-of-production, overstable disc made for long drives that need to hook inward at the last moment towards a target. So it is out of production. Well, who knows anymore? They might not have updated that. All right. So question 16. This goes to Beacon. In the summer of 1972, NBC broadcast reruns of the Western Bonanza under what title? This is for Beacon.
So the show is called Bonanza, and they released it with a different name?
Correct.
Okay. Do you think it has to do with Western theme stuff? Maybe cult? The end of a cult?
Yeah.
What are some other ones? Oh, but there's also all that dynamic crap. There's like the Sheriff Maverick. Isn't that a show?
Yeah. Oh, that's got to be it.
All right. That's as best I'll do. How's Maverick?
The movie was okay. Mel Gibson, though, he's a bit anti-Semitic. Not... Not
Damn
Beacon.
It. Not getting any.
We're
of these
working ones. So hard here, Pat.
Brian's just like, oh, Roadrunner.
Not Beacon. In the summer of 72, NBC broadcast reruns of the Western Bonanza under what title?
Bonanza.
I keep thinking of the theme song.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm going like Western themed discs.
I gave you like three of them.
Stallion, what the hell was the name of the branch? Ponderosa, the ranch. I never heard of that one. I don't know. Jason, you is got anything?
Is the Ponderosa a disc?
I don't know. I never heard of one, but honestly, I never heard of the Riptide either. I just know the show and the current thing. If you want to go with it, go with it.
Yeah, I've got nothing better. Let's go with Ponderosa.
It is the Ponderosa.
Good Lord.
No.
makes the Ponderosa.
I quit.
This called the Ponderosa.
Ryan, we just gotta like start throwing out words next question. Smorgasbord, like why not?
Related at least. Who makes the Ponderosa? Like
it's not even a theme. Like
it's not in the Trilogy lineup as far as I know. It's gonna be one of those weird ones. You can go with any manufacturer. I mean, you can go from Whammo to Innova. I don't care. we got a solid point for the Ponderosa.
Yeah, anything that has a strange name like that, I think it's DGA. But I don't know. I
DGA,
can't think of anything else.
Is that your final answer? DGA.
Sound good?
That's fine.
DGA.
That was close. Beacon, you have a guess? I mean, close in the sense that I will give you the hint. It's one of those, you know, bizarre ones.
The weird ones? Oh, yeah. I was pretty confident about West Side because they make the pine. And I was like, oh, those are related, but my logic doesn't work. So, Brian, what do you think? weird ones. What are the other weird ones? Yakun.
There's ABC is a weird one.
Ooh, I like that one. Let's go with that. ABC.
ABC? We're looking for above ground level.
What?
Above ground level disc, the Ponderosa.
What?
Never even heard of that.
Good for that company, making discs.
They just get a shout out on a podcast.
The Ponderosa is a slightly understable putter designed for new players who want a putter that will fly straight with easy dependability. Hmm. It's beadless.
Ready?
2-4 -1-0 All right. Question 17. This is for not Beacon. Fred Dreyer was on the beat in 1984, tracking down bad guys as what LAPD homicide detective title character?
Oh, I remember that. Shit. What was the actor's name again?
Fred Dreyer.
Oh my God. I can see this one, but I'm not going to be able to pull it. I don't know.
You want to throw out a word?
Smorgasbord! Smorgasbord!
I can't pull anything out.
Any just name a 1984 TV show or just an old TV show.
I don't know. I'm gonna pass.
All right. Beacon, what do you got?
80s cop TV shows. I'm thinking Chips, thinking Hawaii Five-O. I'm thinking that's all I got, man.
Where'd you say he was from again? Did you say he was from California?
Fred Dreyer was on the beat in 1984, tracking down bad guys as what LAPD homicide detective title character?
Ooh, LAPD. That's not Chips. That's Highway Patrol.
And mm-hmm. the name of the show is his name.
Yes.
And it's Matlock? Is that a thing?
Is Columbo LAPD?
Ooh.
Is that your final guess? Columbo?
Not the way you said it. what are some other ones? Say the clue one more time. Sorry, Pat.
Sure. Fred Dreyer was on the beat in 1984, tracking down bad guys as what LAPD homicide detective title character?
What about Matt? Do you know anything about Matlock? That sounds good. He sounds more hard-nosed than Columbo. Columbo doesn't sound like he would live in LA, you know?
Seems like a Chicago guy.
is Columbo your final answer?
Yes.
And who makes the... No, it's...
Oh, of course. Jesus, man. It was
Hunter. Hunter. Fred Dreyer was also a Los Angeles Ram. He has the NFL record, 2 safeties in 1 game.
Wow.
But Hunter. And that is made by Legacy Discs. All right, Beacon, final question.
Oh, God. Are we going to get blanked if we don't get this right?
Yes. Question 18. In Manhattan in the 1970s, a stretch of 42nd Street between 7th and 8th Avenues was the setting for what Maggie Gyllenhaal HBO TV show?
The Deuce.
Who makes The Deuce?
Nice.
Oh, man. I never heard of The Deuce.
Maggie Gyllenhaal fan.
I know the show. Don't know the disc. I'm trying to think if there's any other. Doesn't somebody make a Joker? Like maybe there's somebody that does cards? Who makes the Joker? It's a European company.
Oh boy.
Final answer?
Some European company? No, I'm trying to think of what the name of it. They make the Jokery. I can't think of it though. I give.
Andrew? No guess?
DGA.
Yeah.
Not Beacon. Who makes the Deuce?
Ooh.
I've never heard of it.
I didn't either, but I'm paying attention tonight, believe it or not. And I'm going to go with Discraft.
Final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Wow. Get out of here.
He asked Andrew. And that's Andrew's go-to.
I know. I panicked.
Okay. We got out alive. We got one. We didn't get shut out.
I'm from Circle 2 over here, man. Come on.
All right. So after 3 rounds, the score is not Beacon 32, Beacon 25. If we have time, I do have one more round because you guys, we didn't get to record last night. So I figured, hey, let's throw an extra round of trivia in here.
We could use it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Get it all.
All right. Before we get there, Brian, do you pronounce it coupon or coupon?
Coupon.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk to you about DDO on CBSSN. Have you watched both nights?
I've watched three nights.
Oh, that was on tonight again, wasn't it? Okay. What do you think?
I don't like it's. It's tough only because, like, so from the beginning, they said it's not traditional coverage the way we're used to. This is meant for a different audience than you guys. They've laid all that stuff out there. And they said it wasn't going to be shot-for-shot coverage. They told us everything that I saw. And I was just like, this is what they're giving us? This is what they're presenting non-disc golf viewers? Was that? There's so many things to talk about. Like, I wasn't too happy with the way it was edited. I thought it looked great, but it, like, their whole thing of, like, they cut it up that way to tell the story of a tournament, like, I didn't get it.
Ryan, do you have any thoughts?
Pat, I thought you'd never ask. No, I mean, I thought it was boring as hell. I mean, I loved it and I hated it. I loved it because my wife got a call from, you know, her aunt, one of her friends, you know, family friends had called and said, "Oh, right, there's disc golf on TV. I wonder if Ryan's on." So you know, it got like it clearly got new people engaged. You know, like this is an older couple out in San Diego, and like, you know, they happened to on it, and I guess watched it for a bit, and so that's awesome, you know. And at the same time, it looked so well done. Like, it looked very professional. And you know, my wife sat there and watched it all with me, and she's not a disc golfer at all. And she made the point that, like, it almost had to look boring. Otherwise, they might think that, like, disc golf is weird. And she even said, like, you know, thank goodness they didn't do their, like, big sexy thing. I was like, you know, that's a pretty fair point. You know, if you're trying to legitimize the look of disc golf, and you know, I guess try to not repair, but you know, take away any presumptions, you know, and assumptions people make about disc golf and disc golfers, then I think it really accomplished that, right? At the same time, for a disc golfer, I mean, it was boring coverage, right? I mean, certainly there were some really cool new, you know, the camera work was awesome. You know, some of those overhead drone shots, the visualizations on how you should approach the hole from the top down, with the landing zones, like, that was all awesome. You know, they clearly did a great job. And it just shows you that Jomez is, like, clearly capable of doing, you know, cable newsworthy productions, yeah, you know? So that was like, you know, to me, it's like, I loved it for the reason that it got out there and I think did a really good job of trying to represent disc golf in its, like, I guess, most professional form. And I think it really did that, which is good. But certainly for, you know, it wasn't for us, right? I don't think it was for anybody that's here on the podcast. So you got to take the storytelling with a grain of salt, you know?
Well, my wife, who doesn't play disc golf, I mean, she watched the first 5 minutes because I was watching it on the DVR and she was waiting for the New Housewives to come on. So she watched the first 5 minutes and her notes were, make the disc glowing like in hockey. Mm-hmm. But that was like 20 years ago. and don't skip throws during the rounds. It makes it confusing for people who don't know about disc golf. The very first hole, they went from the drive to the putt.
Right.
On the very first thing. And yeah, no, I don't know. Jason, do you have any thoughts? Oh, did you get to watch it?
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that on Facebook. I, on a free trial of YouTube Live, so, or YouTube TV, whatever it is.
That's what I did too. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had cable in like 18 years. So, no, there's things I liked and things I didn't like. Yeah, the graphics were pretty cool. And the attempt at the, you know, storytelling bios was cool. Right off the bat, though, it seemed really boring that they had that wide open hole and they all just threw hyzers to the middle of the field. Mm. And then they just cut to the green without like the upshots.
Yeah, because that's probably the least, that's the most boring part is that first drive, because you're just going right to, you know, it's just a big hyzer.
Yeah. If you're going to like cut and choose parts to be in it, I didn't think that was really worth putting in there, but I guess gave him opportunities to like introduce disc golf.
Mm-hmm.
And what was up with the Jomez song? It just sounded like, I don't know, beaten up or something.
Yeah, they had like the pitch modulation that kind of sounded weird, you know? Like
yeah.
It sounded like washed out. I don't know what that was all about, but I actually did notice that they had that on one of their YouTube ones too. I think that they just recently changed the theme song and it just kind of sounds a little strange.
Okay. Yeah, it was the first time I noticed it and I was like, it sounds like Jomez, but it doesn't. I don't know.
You know what's funny, Pat? They my wife made an observation about the discs as well. She actually said that they should all be white. That it looks childish that they're all different colors. It's like, wow, that's a good point. I've actually never even thought about that. She's like, they should all be white like a golf ball.
Yeah. Or just at least a uniform color.
Right. Know. Right. Exactly. So I thought that was funny.
Andrew, did you get a chance to see it?
You know, I feel bad. I didn't.
No,
I didn't get to see it. But based on everyone else's opinions, it sounded like it was presented as similar to golf coverage. You know,
And that's what it was. It was CBS and it was very, yeah, very muted, very.
Yeah. And boring. I mean, if you watch golf coverage, like it's boring, but it's really pretty to look at. Like someone who's like not interested in like the game of golf will watch golf coverage, you know, just to like see everything.
But also in golf coverage, they have cameras everywhere.
Right.
These guys were limited to what, like two or three cars worth of coverage? Because weren't there like two or three different.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end though, like round three today, where there was actually like the battle between like Paul and Emerson, and then Calvin was on Chase, and so they were cutting back to his round. So honestly, like the third round was actually exciting, but that's because the disc golf was exciting. And yeah. I think that's sort of the way that golf works as well is, you know, you kind of turn golf on in the background and until it's, you know, the last nine holes. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you're just chasing the top three, four people that are in contention. Right. So that's, I felt like tonight's coverage was awesome. Like, I think that the commentary was better because there was more to talk about and they got over the hump of having to explain like what a hyzer is and what the circle is. You know, it felt a lot more natural tonight. So, you know, I think it was just growing pains really getting through that. That first round was just really rough.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things. One, I didn't finish the first round. And part of that was because, something you just said, damn it. I lost it. Never mind. What's that?
Because the Real Housewives were on?
No. Any other thoughts on that?
I was disappointed with the, FPO coverage or.
Yeah.
I mean, they had, like, I think the first 2 days there was like less than 2 minutes coverage of just Paige for the most part. And then tonight there was like a tick more, but like there was no FPO coverage at all. I mean, they really, I think, missed on something like something for that. I mean, I don't know what they would have done given their time constraints, but like to have less than 5 minutes over 3 days was I think that was bad.
Yeah. Did you see Andrew Fish's tweet about it?
He tweeted a lot about it. He was not happy. But, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, they had to create a package and I get it. But like to basically shut out FPO was, I agree with Andrew Fish that, you know, that was like an insult to like, you know, every female that plays disc golf.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And also like if the goal was to. They kept on harping on. It felt like it was a disc golf advertisement, and also a City of Emporia advertisement, which is, you know, rightfully so. I think they helped sponsor it, but you know, if they're trying to show that it's, they kept on hammering home that it was accessible to everybody, good for families. You know, you can play in 45 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, you should have shown more of the women playing to show that it's accessible to everybody. You know, it just.
Yeah, I don't know. Basically they showed five white guys for 3 days.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I agree. Now, do you think that when do you think we'll know whether it was, you know, successful for Dynamic? Do you think they'll do something like this again?
There's a lot of talk about why, you know, about how, you know, it's not a Nielsen rated app, program, channel, whatever. So, you know, we're not going to know actual numbers unless somebody tells it to us. So, I mean, it's almost like unless there's another order for another tournament, like we'll never know if it was successful. I mean, I'm sure Dynamic will talk it up. You know, I mean, they're really good with media. So, you know, we're going to talk up how successful it was. But unless there's another one that we that Disc Golf doesn't have to pay for, you know, we're not going to know how successful it was.
Yeah. And we can also look at Dynamic Discs sales. Maybe they have some stats on whether it drove some more traffic to their site or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder if they're going to get any sort of metrics on it, you know?
Yeah. I'll say I was surprised with all the commercials, how, you know, the story that I heard was that, like, you know, like they went to all the other manufacturers and say, hey, do you want in on this? And they all said yes. But I didn't see any other commercials for any other brands during it. I mean, I know it's a DD Open, but if they had some sort of financial investment in this thing, you'd figure they would have asked for a commercial.
Yeah. I didn't see anything other than the PDGA commercials.
Yeah.
And then that one about, you know, not smoking and driving, which I thought was a little on the nose for the disc golfers. I was like, wow, is this a coincidence that...
What was it?
It was like a...
it's like the popcorn, you know, commercial.
Yeah, it's like a PSA commercial about, like, don't... You know, you have like the buzz driving is drunk driving. It was similar, but it was like, don't drive high, you know? And it just happened to be on the disc golf coverage. Mm-hmm. But apparently they had been running that same ad on CBS Sports for a while, so it was just a coincidence, I guess.
It was just a bad coincidence.
Yep.
Because again, I mean, you figure, like, if someone's tuning into that for the first time to watch disc golf, that's a commercial they see. You know, again, if they don't watch CBS Sports on a regular basis, they don't know that commercial's normally on. So, you know, somebody checking out for the first time is like, oh, there's the don't drive high commercial. I guess all those stereotypes are true.
Right, exactly. For the record, Brian, it's disc golf.
Yeah. That was a meme waiting to happen on that one.